Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Welcome back. Scott Hamilton Show on a Heisman Hump Day. Wondering how much it's going to cost LSU to get a football coach. What's it going to cost Southern Cal to get a football coach? Is Jimmy Sexton master of the universe? I think so. I wish he were handling me. I need Jimmy Sexton to be my agent.
Can we make a call? Where is he affiliated with? CAA or one of those?
One of those. Mm-hmm. We'll ask our guest. Joining us on the Saitama Hotline, he's senior reporter for Front Office Sports. AJ Perez, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
AJ, I hope you heard me preface your appearance. I'm wondering, what's it going to cost LSU to bring in the kind of coach that Scott Woodward wants to have, the kind that has a big name, make a big splash?
Well, we got this. They're paying out $17 million in dead money for Ogeron, so it's LSU, though. They'll find some money. Look at the high end of the pay scale. You're looking at least $8-9 million if they want to get into the high end, and even the mid range, which wouldn't go over well at LSU, probably looking at $6 million a year. So
that's not terrible. I mean, what does Cristobal make at Oregon right now? Like 3.5 or 4?
Yeah, he's around 3.
Okay, so yeah. Can you see something like that taking place where they would bring a Cristobal from the West Coast, bring him in, and what do you think his price tag would be?
It would be beyond the price tag. You got to think about, beyond the yearly costs. There's going to be a shift in the next 2 years. A lot of these coaches, and we saw that in Washington State, where you get a $3 million, base salary, or $2 million base salary, and $1 million in media rights added onto your contract. That's all changing, and we're going to be seeing, the Learfields and of the world. The deals they're going to go out and getting aren't going to be what they were in the past. We've seen the pullback from Nike, pullback from pullback from Nike and Under Armour in the college ranks for apparel. We're going to see media rights not going for as much. So,
what's causing those prices to come down?
It's just a lot of it is it's just a different for Under Armour. They kind of felt like, I guess they felt that they aired when they went head to head with Nike and they didn't see the big bang for the buck. And we saw the UCLA lawsuit play out and that's all been settled. But they've been trying to get out of these long term deals for a while. Adidas and Nike haven't really gone that route. But I think the value of those, they paid a lot of money to a lot of colleges that they didn't see the bang for the buck. The other part of it is the media side where, we're all changing, streaming's changing, everything. And while some of these coaches have popular shows on local radio and TV, it's kind of maybe not – that is may get out of whack a little bit too. So I think a lot of the schools will have to come up money from their own athletic departments, their own college overall to kind of offset some of this stuff.
How much of that was pandemic-related, do you think, that dip in rates?
A lot. I mean, the Learfields and those tech companies, they were hit pretty hard. They didn't have any inventory to sell. I mean, they had deals out there, and they were able to rework a lot of them. But it hurt, and I think that's one of the slower parts to recover are going to be some of these media rights deals for college sports. I think we. Probably by the end of this year, they'll be going in a better direction.
AJ, I'm glad you brought that up about media rights. I'm hearing the news about the American Conference, the American Athletic Conference, going to expand, and they're snapping up a bunch of teams from Conference USA, and they're scattered throughout the country. And I have two questions for that. A, how much of this was strategically placed because of grant of rights, or rather media market size? And B, how much does media market size even matter anymore?
I mean, if it mattered, Rutgers would be like the number one school in the nation. So,
good point.
Yeah, that would be there. It does matter, but it's kind of like you think of like the NFL and college can college sports in the same way. The NFL, they don't, you know, you don't have local media rights. You know, you have like you do for baseball and basketball, where there's an RSN and everything else. So, you know, these colleges, you know, they can sign these secondary deals or these primary deals locally and get money on top of what you get out of the, you know, ESPN, Fox Sports, the others. So there, you know, it's the major colleges who actually make up a lot, who make a lot of money off that. Where the smaller colleges, you know, I come from San Jose State. We're not a small college student population wise, but for a D1, FBS, sorry, I say D1A program, we're not very high up there. So, you know, it's an intriguing thing to think about, just kind of how much the Alabamas of the world can make versus the lower tier Division I A schools.
We're joined by AJ Perez, Front Office Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, by AJ Perez. And AJ, you're talking about the Alabamas of the world, and then you're talking about the smaller schools, the group of five schools in the FBS. And I'm of this idea, and I would like to run it by you, and I hope I don't catch you, you know, a little off guard by this question, but I keep hearing and I keep thinking about the possibility of having a relegation system in Division I athletics, Division I football specifically, similar to what's going on with soccer overseas, where if you don't perform to a certain level during a certain period of time, you get sent down, you get relegated to a lower division. I'm thinking of a school such as Vanderbilt, a school such as Duke, who these programs are reaping in millions and millions of dollars thanks to these grant of rights deals, thanks to having their own networks in the SEC, in the ACC, and yet they're underachieving year in and year out on the football field. Is this plan something that could ever come to fruition? Is this a realistic idea, or is it just pie in the sky?
I love it. I mean, seriously, I think it would be great for the Power Five, because, like, you know, when you're in a Mountain West school like my school is, you know, I was watching my school until 2 a.m. on, was it Friday or Saturday night last week? So it would be great to have a carrot for those kind of schools to get up there. But it would just, you know, it would just be so complicated to do, because you have these, you know, these contracts between the schools and the conferences that go out many, many years. And if you can get them all on board, though, you know, that would it would take some kind of, you know, the football coalition to come together, because since NCAA probably would not do anything about it, to come together and have every student president in of all 100, whatever it is now, D1A programs. To do, I mean, that would be a great idea. I'd love it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so cool to say, okay, Vandy, you've got to go down and play in the Sun Belt. Appalachian State, you're going to be in the Southeastern Conference the next 3 years. Good luck.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I'm not a huge soccer guy, but I did watch Ted Lasso, and I understand relegation now. So,
I watched the first, I think, two episodes of Ted Lasso, and I'm trying. The owner lady yeah. Scares me, man. She looks like WWE.
She's pretty. Her character softens up a little bit as it goes. So,
okay, I have that to look forward to. He's AJ Perez of Front Office Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at AJ Perez. AJ, buddy, it's been a blast. We appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, AJ Perez of Front Office Sports.